Hello everyone and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I am Rod Jones, content manager at the Institute, and in this podcast we will be looking at news from the week up to the 21st of October 2019. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello Kate.
Hello Rod.
Well, our first story, Kate, asks, how should leaders reconcile the generational divide? A recent poll of 1,000 SME owners by Benenden Health showed that more than a third of the business leaders surveyed would rather hire a 55-year-old than a younger person, with only 20% preferring a 24-year-old with similar experience on their CV. The analysis also showed that one in five of unemployed people in the UK are aged over 50. And that of the 171,000 people who have been unemployed for more than 24 months, more than a third are also over 50. Kate, what should leaders do to remove discrimination of both younger and older workers and encourage collaboration between them?
Well, I'm not surprised that the evidence here is contradictory. When we did some research in this area in 2015, we found systematic discrimination against older workers, certainly in terms of access to training and appraisals. So we've got two different pictures. Now, it would be nice to think that the removal of the statutory retirement age, the campaigning that we and other organisations have done to highlight the huge benefits of older workers would be taking hold, and it's having an effect. One thing that I found quite surprising though with this particular piece of research is, how can somebody who's 55 have similar experience to a 24-year-old? Or maybe I should put the question the other way. What were these jobs that you could have, in 30-odd years, only have managed to get a similar experience to somebody who's not been in the labour market for that long? But overall, I think it's good news. It's a positive message.
Thank you very much, Kay. Our next story looks at new Korn Ferry research that suggests nearly 60% of the black executives who oversee major lines of business at Fortune 500 companies felt they had to work twice as hard and accomplish twice as much to be on the same level as their colleagues. At the same time, more than a third of the leaders said they were assigned extremely tough projects that no one else wanted. These leaders felt they had to prove themselves in ways that they perceived their colleagues didn't have to, says Mike Heiter, a managing partner in Korn Ferry's board and CEO practice. About half the leaders talked explicitly about confronting unfair treatment and subtle or unconscious behaviour that expressed prejudice or bias, with the most common experience being business partners or clients assuming that the black leader was the direct report of a white colleague when it was the other way around. The reporter's authors say that organisations must actively sponsor and develop black talent, creating opportunities for high potential employees to move across functions and lines of business rather than pushing black leaders into support roles that do not have the responsibility of running the business itself. Kate, how can organisations ensure that black talent is sponsored and developed?
I think what this piece illustrates is how similar is the experience of people in underrepresented groups. You could substitute women for all of the black people and find that that would resonate with the experience, assuming that the man in the room is more senior to the female. We often hear females say they have to work twice as hard in order to be perceived to be just as good. And the additional burden, I think, for underrepresented groups is that someone can always say, you only got that job because, or you're seen as a token. So it's undoubtedly the work experience for these people is very different, and that recognizing it and talking about it is one step to confronting what essentially, as you've said, is prejudice. But does it make it easier just knowing about it for the people who are feeling that they're being discriminated against? Probably not. But nevertheless, if we can stop thinking about hierarchies of disadvantage or one group being more disadvantaged than another, and talk in terms, as we so often do, of actual inclusivity, that everybody's there on their own merits, and we don't have accusations of tokenism, but we do have real respect for the contributions that people are making and being judged by those contributions, not all the other things that we could confuse that message.
Thank you, Kate. Our next story looks at new research from Binghamton State University of New York, which finds that showing compassion to subordinates almost always pays off, especially when combined with clear goals. The researchers surveyed nearly 1,000 members of the Taiwanese military and almost 200 adults working full-time in the United States and found that authoritarianism, dominant leadership almost always had negative results on job performance, while benevolence, dominant leadership almost always had a positive impact on job performance. Because of the difference in work cultures between US employees and members of the Taiwanese military, researchers were surprised that the results were consistent across both groups. Frances Yamarino, professor at the university, writes, "The consistency in the results across different cultures and different job types is fascinating. It suggests that the effectiveness of paternalistic leadership may be more broad-based than previously thought, and it may be all about how people respond to leaders and not about where they live or the type of work they do." Chuyu Tsai, an assistant professor of management at Binghamton School of Management, said his main takeaway for managers is to put just as much or even more of an emphasis on the well-being of your employees as you do on hitting targets and goals. Kate, what are the implications of this research for leaders?
Probably confirm what many of us know, that people rarely do their best work because they're scared of you. They'll do their best work because they want to please you. And that is the difference in the relationship between being authoritarian and being much more kindly disposed to the people that you manage, and really understanding where they're coming from and putting their well-being ahead of your own. And that is essentially what we talk a lot about, servant leadership, and that recognition that you're there to help people do a great job. They're not there to help you look better. As Chu Yu says, there's two lessons here. Be kind, but also be clear about your expectations. Because to go back to my earlier point, on the whole, if you have a good relationship with people that you manage, they want to please you.
Thank you very much, Kate. So be kind and be clear. So our next story looks at new research conducted by Lean In, a non-profit group that promotes gender equality, and McKinsey & Company management consultants. And this research suggests that the biggest obstacle to women moving up in the corporate world is the very first step to manager. The study of women in corporate America collected information from 329 organizations employing 13 million people and found that the so-called broken rung has meant that just 72 women attain their first management job for every 100 men making the same move. Conventional wisdom has focused on the glass ceiling, but Rachel Thomas, chief executive of Lean In, contends that the broken rung is much more significant. Alexis Grifkovich, a senior managing partner at McKinsey, writes that fixing the broken rung so that equal numbers of men and women take the first step into management would add 1 million women in 5 years to US corporate jobs. Kate, what more can leaders do to fix the broken rung?
Immediately recognise that you rarely are you instinctively, intuitively, or just born a great manager. It's something that you have to learn, and it's something that you can learn. And of course, that's absolutely part of our mission here at the Institute of Leadership and Management. But it's not only women who are going to benefit particularly from this recognition that your first step into management, you need to be prepared, you need to be encouraged. But we can see how confidence boosting it is. So if we look at all underrepresented groups, they are encouraged to go on management development courses to understand that it can be learned. It's not about privilege. It's not about what you were born into. There are skills that you can develop in being better at how you relate to the people in the workplace. Then it will do more for everybody. And I think this idea of getting it right early on, rather than, you know, 20 years down the line saying, what are the problems? What are the barriers? Rachel Thomas is exactly spot on here. Let's get it right, because then it takes care of itself.
Thank you, Kate. And that concludes this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.instituteLM.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.
Thank you, Rod.